We are thrilled to have in our studios today the star of The Man Who Murdered Sherlock Holmes and the executive producer, Nick Sands and Walter Stearns. Thank you so much for being here today.
Our pleasure. Thank you for having us.
All right. The Man Who Murdered Sherlock Holmes. Well, when you hear Sherlock Holmes, it has such a buzz and such a cult following. It's such a he's such a pop icon. He's an icon through the generations. How do you reinvent Sherlock Holmes or how do you recreate him?
Well, this is a very unique piece of theater. It's really something that could only exist in the theater. We bring Sherlock back to life. It's based partly on historic fact, a moment in Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, the writer. It's a moment in his life when he decided to kill off his most successful character, Sherlock Holmes. And in our play, we imagine that Sherlock comes back to him to fight for his very existence.
Now, you know, the thought of even saying killing off Sherlock Holmes strikes fear into, you know, into the hearts of many, if you will. So it's kind of a bold script.
Well, that's what Conan Doyle actually tried to do after doing his first contract, fulfilling his first contract for The Strand. And he'd done enough of it. He thought, that's all I can do. And so... yeah, he actually ended the character's life in The Final Problem. And even if you watch the new series of Sherlock with Benedict Cumberbatch, the end of the second season is the same episode, you know. And then you have the problem when everybody finds him so popular and they want him to live again. How do you bring him back to life? And John Rieger, who wrote the book and some of the lyrics for this, is just amazingly... He has lived with this for a very long time. He's a big Sherlock fan. He knows his stories. He knows the myths. And he's included a lot of, I would say, inside information for those Sherlock fans who want to see a lot about that. So if you're a big Sherlock fan, this is a show for you.
Nick, Walter said before you arrived today, you were born to play this role.
Well,
how do you feel about
Walter.
That?
It's one of those roles. I mean, I've been lucky enough to be able to have played quite a few sort of iconic roles like Darcy and other people. But Sherlock is one of those that you're adding to a wonderful tradition of amazing actors who've played this. And they've done it in so many different ways, right up to the present, obviously, with Cumberbatch, but also through the years in terms of Rathbone, who was one of my great heroes, and Jeremy Brett, who I love in the BBC series. And there are so many ways to pay tribute to those actors, because I'm not one of those people who goes, I've got to ignore it, I've got to come in my own way. It's like, no, nobody in the audience is ignoring it. They bring their own favorite Sherlock with them. So you better honor that tradition and build on it. And I think that makes it really exciting rather than terrifying to play a role like this. It's like, I get to be part of that tradition, and that's terrific.
I love how you mentioned some of the actors. I love what Benedict Cumberbatch has brought to the role. David Arquette played kind of a humorous interpretation of Sherlock when he was at the in Chicago, Broadway.
Well, one of my
Chicago.
Favorite films, actually, is Without a Clue with... Michael Caine playing an actor who is hired to play Sherlock Holmes and is actually horrible at it, and Ben Kingsley as Watson. And that's a terrific movie, and again, inverts in a different way than ours, but brings a huge amount of humor to this. The myths of Sherlock Holmes and who he is. I mean, if you think about the Rathbone stories and the Watson in those, who was played, Nigel Bruce, purely for comedy.
Right.
Not like the Watson of the novels at all. And so there's a elasticity to Holmes in terms of the way you can tell this story, even with, you know, Robert Downey Jr., that it can take a lot of forms and still you can honor what has gone before.
When you accepted the role, I called Holmes an iconic figure, which he really is. When you accepted the role, did you lay out how you were going to portray him, either with humor or more serious? How did you decide to portray him?
Well, I met John Rieger. The first time we worked together was back in 2005. We worked together at Drury Lane, Oakbrook. Doing a play called Sherlock's Last Case by Charles Marowitz. And John was playing Sherlock. And they kind of did the show for him. And I was understudying him and also playing Lestrade, or Lestrade, depending on which one you actually want to go with. And then John had emergency eye surgery, so I went on for the first 3 weeks of the run. And we just became fast friends because we were obviously big fans of Sherlock in our ways and our histories. And so ever since, he said, I've got this play I want you to read. So I've been sort of had this in my mind for a while. And then our composer, Julie Shannon, who died tragically 3 years ago from complications of cancer, we did a memorial at the Mercury Theatre for her, in which we did three songs from the show. And everybody went, wow, that's great, we should do that. And now we've got Michael Mahler, who's finishing the composing for Julie, who's brilliant and wonderful. So between the two of them, they built a brilliant score of humor and danger and sort of feeling of Edwardian, Victorian music hall in a great combination of comedy and drama. And I think that's what Sherlock can always give you. Because of the wit, because of the speed of his thinking, there is a humor to him, even if you're taking it dead seriously. And I think John has really brought out that side of it. I hear echoes of John's voice playing Holmes. So he's also part of my tradition in my head when I'm working on it.
This is a question for either of you, Walter or Nick. How do you ensure that Sherlock Holmes stays alive? Not allegorically, I mean, because now I know this is the man who murdered Sherlock Holmes, but it's important to reach across the generations, you know, not just, you know, those of us in our 40s and 50s, but to reach the younger generations and pull them into what has become such a wonderful story, such a wonderful character.
Character has lived the test of time.
Yes.
There's no question about it. It's one of the all-time great heroes in literature. And it's fascinating to see the people who have attended our first few performances, because it's a huge spectrum of people. People who were introduced to it recently through the motion pictures, or people who've been diehard fans since, John Rieger was a member of his Sherlock Holmes fan club when he was 12 years old. So it's such a diverse audience of people that this character appeals to. I think in our production, the real strength of our production is not just, you come into the theater having some expectation of what a Sherlock Holmes show story will be, and it satisfies all of that. There is the action, the adventure, the mystery, the intrigue, the romance. What you don't expect is the tremendous heart of this work. And you get caught up in the characters so quickly, and you love them so fully. And there are genuine, heartbreaking moments in the show. And I remember experiencing the show for the first time at the Mercury Theater, and not a dry eye in the house. It's an overwhelming experience for an audience.
I'm glad you bring up the Mercury Theater. One of my favorite places in Chicago. I used to live not far from there, but one of my favorite theaters, because it is so interactive. You feel like you're right there. A lot of theater goers say there's not a bad seat in the house. There's not in the Mercury. Does that help engage the audience?
Oh, totally. I mean, with something like this, which has a very theatrical feel, we're going from different places all the time. There's a fluidity to the show. It really helps to be able to sense the audience and sense whether they're in the story with you, or whether you need to reach out to them and pull them in a little different ways, or whether you can relax back because they are sitting on the front of the seats and they're looking forwards at you, and they're pulled into the action of the story. And what's unique about combining Holmes with Conan Doyle and this historical moment is that it also brings in social issues, and there's racism and dealing, one of the evils that Holmes is fighting here is racism in British society. And so I think it brings a contemporary edge to it, which makes it very accessible to everybody who's watching it.
Many modern-day themes that are intertwined as well. Go see it, please. Nick Sands, the star of Sherlock Holmes. He is Sherlock Holmes. Walter Stearns, the executive producer. It is The Man Who Murdered Sherlock Holmes. Runs through March 20th at the beautiful Mercury Theater. Thank you for being here.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you.